little thing in the bulletin about finishing the year strong. And we started out with our theme this past year as in Psalm 65:11, you crown the year with your goodness, your path dripped with fatness. So as we begin all to reflect on this past year, I think we all can say that we have seen the goodness of God. Amen. We have seen the goodness of God. So the next few weeks as we wind down to this year, as we know it, as time as we know it, because we know God is time itself, himself, I want you to begin to fast and pray for us as your pastors and for the church, and find out where God wants you in the body, that he has a place for you here. And as we move forward, I believe God is going to stir some things up in you to some outreaches and get the good word out. Amen. So just be praying about that and see what the Lord wants you to do. Father, thank you for this word that you've given me today. I thank you, Lord, that it's not going to fall on deaf ears. I thank that you have anointed me as your messenger to bring forth this word that you have laid up on my heart today. And you said that if we would send forth your word, that it's not going to come back to you void, but it's going to reach its assignment and do what it's supposed to do. And I thank you for that today. And everybody said amen and amen. Amen. Isaiah 43, verse 15 and 16 tells us, I am, I love that word, I am. I am. That means everything that you need God to be, he is. I am the Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters. Can I get an amen in the house today? Amen. Amen. So when we go back and we begin to look at the prophetic passages in Isaiah, the prophet foresaw a time of great difficulty for the Israelites, a time when they would be held captive to their enemies, a time when they would be taken from their homeland, exiled in foreign countries, their home and temple destroyed as the years in exile became not just a day, not a month, but decades. The great question that always burned in the Israelites' heart was, is the situation hopeless? And that's what the enemy wants us to believe when we're going through something. Is the situation hopeless? Is there a way out? Can there be a way out? How can I make a way out? And so, so that's what they begin to say. Is there a way out of this impossible and difficult time? Is there a way back home, back to our homeland? And it was to the people feeling completely hopeless, whose faith was reaching a breaking point, that God stepped in and spoke. So I would encourage you right now that when God steps in and begins to speak, the situation begins to change. How many needs a word from the Lord today? Amen. That you need something changed, that you need a word from the Lord. Or the one that needs God to step in with a word today. One word from God will begin to change your situation. So maybe you feel completely trapped, hedged in, overwhelmed. You're set up for a breakthrough. Amen. So when you feel hedged in, trapped in, and cannot move, guess what? You are ready for a breakthrough. Amen. So your heart is heavy, maybe with doubt, as you can't figure out what to do next. Have you ever been there? There appears to be nothing you can do about what you're now facing. And as I look back on my life, I found out that's the best place I can be. Because at that point, I have ran out of my options to try to make it work. And tried to fix it. And I found out when I try to make things work and I try to fix it, the situation only gets worse. So at that point, we need to lean into God. We need to lean into him and find out what he says about the situation. Because, you know, we've run out of options at that point. But there's one thing that I know, church. There's one thing that I know, that impossibilities are the platforms of which God does miraculous things that become possible. So if you're on a platform today of chaos and bad doctor reports and your children gone crazy and even your dog's not acting right and all of this, guess what? You're ready for a breakthrough. God is the God of miracles. With man it may be impossible, but what? With God it is possible. So how many knows that one word from God can change your situation? One word. One word from God. Isaiah 55:11, after all, tells us, so shall be my word that I speak, It doesn't return to me unfulfilled. And I like this other translation. It says, my words that come out of my mouth will not come back to me empty-handed. They'll do the work that I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment that I gave them. So when God begins to speak a word into your situation, guess what? They are assigned with power to do what they are sent forth to do. If God says that I am going to heal you and he sent that word to you, guess what? It's sent with the power to heal you, to break an addiction. That word, that addiction is broken. That word is sent forth and his assignment will be accomplished. It won't come back to God empty-handed. So in Isaiah 43, God stepped in, and as he did so, it was like he had to reintroduce himself again to his people and remind them once again of his character. And you know, when we're going through things in life, sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we just want to get away and just to get out of it and just forget about it. That doesn't make the situation go away. You know, it's still there. It's still facing us. And so, he had to step back in sometimes in their lives and even in our lives. Say, I'm going to reintroduce myself to you again. I want you to see who I am again. You know, I know the battle's been hard. It's been a fiery trial. But let me tell you who I am. Let me reintroduce to you who I am. So he began to remind his people and to remind them once again of his character. And in verse 43, in verse 1, it says, but now says the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. Wow. Whew. I think I'm going to get a little bit more into that in a few minutes. So he starts out by telling them, and then verse 15 that I read a while ago, he said, I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God, Israel. I am the Lord your God, New Life. Have you forgotten that? Have you forgotten that? Your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. So he's saying to us today, I am the Lord your God. Let me reintroduce myself to you. I am your Holy One. I am the one that created you. Why not would I take care of that which I have created? He begins by reminding them that he is Yahweh. I am. I am. I am. The self-existent one, active, ever-present God. The way maker. Isaiah 45:2 says, I will go before you and make the crooked place straight. That is a way maker. A way maker is the one that goes before. There's a song that we all remember. I think it's probably way back in the 90s. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will guide me, hold me close to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. You might not see the way, but he has already seen the way. Why? Because he's the way maker. So from the passage of Isaiah, we see that God introduces himself as the God who makes a way. And many times when we look at the situation we're in and we can't see a way out, remember, Jesus is the way maker. And he calls us to trust him and to believe that he is. He makes a way through the sea. He makes a way through that circumstance or that situation, and a path through the mighty waters that seems to want to drown your praise, that seems wants to drown you to where you sit back and just say, let it go. You know, he's already made the way. In verse 16, God reminded the Israelites that he makes a way through the sea, and he wants to remind you of that today, that he has already made a way. So what he is doing is reminding them of their past and what he had done time after time again as their deliverer. He made a way where, naturally speaking, there was no way. So maybe you're the one here today, or one that listened, or maybe you know someone who has been feeling like they were. The difficulty of what you face has clouded out the thought and the presence of who he is for you. And we've all been at that place in our lives where we have been so overwhelmed, and we just have to step back and take a breath. Because remember what I said, the enemy wants to steal your song. And if he can, everybody of us has a different song because all of us have been delivered from different things. So I don't know what your song may be, but I know what my song is. And that's what the enemy wants. Wow. He wants to steal your song, church. And if he can steal your song, he's got your joy. And that's where your strength is at. So always keep your song in the middle of whatever you may be going through. So maybe you're the one that's been feeling like they have lately. So God reminded them, reintroduced himself to them who he was, that he was their creator, that they didn't come into being by accident, and neither did you. It was through the plan and purposes of the eternal God. So the Lord was saying to them in so many words, and is saying to you, I created you. You are mine. You belong to me. And wouldn't I take care of that which belongs to me? Wouldn't I take, would I just lay you to the side and not care anything about you? I don't think so. I'm the one that put breath into you. I'm the one that formed you in your mother's womb. I knew you before the creation of the world. So why would I not take care of you and concerned about everything that you are concerned about? And then God reminds his people that he is the king. The enemy wants to come in and set different things in our life up as king. But Jesus wants to be king of our lives. And when something is king, guess what? It's what we bow to. It's what we submit to. Amen. So Israel was in exile, suffering under the king of Babylon. But they were not to fear this earthly king. And there's many voices out there today as the old country hollering really loud. But as I said last Sunday, it's not the voice that's hollering the loudest that is the truth. They're just hollering really loud to make themselves believe what they're trying to say. Amen? So don't allow anything to come and replace the king of your life, which is Jesus. So the real king was still overlooking all that occurred. And that's the same thing that he does for us today. There's nothing in your life that has gone past God unnoticed. And there's nothing in your life taking place at this moment that he has already made a way out. That's one of the reasons that we can trust him more, 110% and more, because we know that he has already gone before us. He's already gone before us. So I want to remind you today that the real king is overlooking all that concerns you and yours. And who makes a way through the sea and path through the mighty waters? And what has the sea got to do with their current predicament here? Because it was way back there when they were delivered from Egypt. He is reminding them of their past at a particular time where they're previously seen there was no way forward. It was a time of the Exodus from Egypt when the Israelites faced certain death. In the Bible, we read where God led the Israelites by way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Then he guided them around a circle. As the people camped at the edge of the Red Sea, they noticed that the mountains were on one side, the sea was on the other side, and the enemy was breathing down their neck. Have you ever felt that way? When the Israelites saw Pharaoh's soldiers charging them, it appeared that there was no way out. The people cried out to Moses. Moses trusted God during the impossible time. Aren't you thankful for the people in your life when you may be going something? They may be over here rejoicing, but they don't condemn you and put you down when you're going through that. But they say, hey, come on, let me lift up your arms. I know the way maker. I'll remind you about your way maker. So Moses trusted God during this impossible time. So he didn't give up or give in. He steered. He directed the people's attention to God. Aren't you glad for the people in your life at the times that you need an answer and you're just like, whew, you know, there may be a billboard sign, there may be just something somebody says, and all at once your focus can change in the blink of an eye. There's something that just happens to you. He says, for Exodus 14, don't be afraid, people. Stand firm. Don't waver, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord. Amen. To that one that's going through that, that's word to you today, stand firm. Yes. Don't be afraid. Yes. Hallelujah. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Amen. And sometimes we just don't need to say anything. Because sometimes we get in trouble when we open our mouth. So sometimes God just says, you need to be quiet and let me do what I do and just believe me in that moment. So God told the people, God told Moses to tell the people to go forward. Moses lifted up his staff, stretched out his hand, and the sea divided. So God intervened. And I found out that he prefers to work in situations That's sometimes deemed impossible. Because that's where we learn to trust Him. And that's where we learn to see the great I Am at work. It's in situations that seem impossible. And guess what happened? Imagine that. The waters parted. Amen. Wow, the waters parted. Hallelujah. The waters are parting for some of you today. There's been a mountain on each side, a sea in front of you, and the enemy, you can feel his breath down your neck, but I'm here to prophetically declare to you, today is your day of deliverance. Amen. You're coming out with a mighty hand. The waters parted, and this people walked across the sea on what? Dry ground. And this is what I've heard. Now you're getting ready to walk across on dry ground. And before you tried, and it was a time to cross over, and you stepped out, and the ground was soft under your footing, and you got to be afraid, and you got to be confused, because you was afraid of the enemy behind you. And there was fear, and yes, there was some confusion. But now is the time to cross over and go forward on dry ground that is taking you to the other side. Do you know you're just one step away from your breakthrough? Wow. You're just one step away for things to change. So what looked like a mess for the Israelite, God turned into a miracle. And whatever you're facing right now, there's coming a time that it may look like a mess right now, but you're going to have a testimony that God does what God does best, and that performs miracles for His people. Amen. That things can be redeemed. Things can be redeemed. Hallelujah. So I'm telling you that the same God of the Israelites back then is the same God today, and He will do the same thing for you because He has not changed. And his word has not changed. Amen. For God is still the way maker where there seems to be no way. No matter the challenge you're encountering, do not be afraid. Stand firm and go forward. Now when you're standing firm doesn't mean you're standing. No, standing firm and saying, God, I believe your word and I'm going forth. I'm going forth. Amen. So you've come too far now to quit and sit back down. Because if you sit back down, guess what? You're just going to have to get up again. Amen. So, you know, when you get older, you drop something at work. I dropped a pen the other day, and one of the clients came back and said, you want me to pick that up? And I said, no, I'll leave it alone. I'll pick up everything this afternoon. Well, I've been down once when, you know, took the time from you. You've been down once. Pick it all up at one time. I'm aging gracefully. Who knows that one step could bring you to dry ground and you walk to the greatest victory you've ever known? One step. So when the Israelites began their journey, God purposely led them in a path where they would avoid trouble and confrontation. So sometimes when God takes us on a path and we think it's going to be free and it's going to be trouble-free and nothing's going to happen, it says, Exodus says, when 13 says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the enemy, through the Philistines' country. There, though that way was shorter. Sometimes we want to take the longer way around. For God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. So if your situation and things are taking a long time, don't despair. Rejoice with God on your way. Rejoice in God on your way. So the Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Now, you would think if this is the road God was telling them to walk, it would be without a battle to get to where He's taking us. Or we could think if God is telling me this, it's the path that I'm leading you on, He will provide right on time help when needed. Because He's a right on time God. So there's always two situations to look at everything. It's a choice you have to make and the attitude that you have. Right? So Psalms 54 says, fourth, behold, my God is my helper and ally. The Lord is the sustainer of my soul, and He is my upholder. So if God's telling you to go the long way around and things begin to happen, guess what? He's already provided His protection. And He's already provided the way. He's already provided you as the sustainer of your soul and the one that upholds you. And our journey will lead to some overwhelming situations, as we all know, where there seems to be no hope. And Isaiah chapter 43:2 says, "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Pass through the rivers, they'll not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." Now, it doesn't say if you pass through the waters. It's not a matter of if, but when. We are all going to face situations in our life, not if, but when. So that's why we prepare ourselves on the days that the sun is shining. That's why we get that word into us. And then when that situation comes, when we open our mouth, guess what comes out of our mouth? Jesus! But Jesus! Amen? So it doesn't say when others pass through the waters. When you pass through the waters, it will happen. Through the good and the bad. The word through is that we have to go through. Around, over possibly, would sound more like victory words to us, doesn't it? You know, it's like, God, why don't you say around? You know, just remove it, get it out of the way, so that I don't have to deal with it. How would you ever know that God was a deliverer if you didn't have something to believe him for? So he makes a way around the difficulty. He makes a way over the sea. That at least gives us the impression that we are lifted above and don't really experience all the trouble. But going through is what the scripture and a lot of us know experience tells us we are going through. Why? Because we are overcomers. In the New Testament, we are overcomers. This word through is that we get through. That tells us right there that difficulty is not forever. And there's no need to set up camp in the middle of the water thinking that there's your lot in life. And that's where a lot of Christians are stuck at. It's just my lot in life to be depressed because my whole family's depressed. It's just my lot in life because I'm poor. I'm just poor. My whole family's always been poor. It's just my lot in life. Well, if you've been saved and born again, your lot in life is prosperity, body, soul, mind, and financial. Amen. That is your lot in life. That is what God sent Jesus to invest in for you, and he took a chance on you. He took a chance on you when he invested his son in you. Invested those things. So the period of difficulty is not forever. And the key to Israel's breakthrough time and time again is they continue to believe God. Even at the times they thought, "Woe me, why am I here? All this is happening." God kept reminding them who they were, who he was, and they kept walking, they kept going forward. Don't set up your lot in life. They did it one time, and it paid a dear price for it. So they kept progressing forward. When the mighty waters rise in your life, you too will go through. Get through, because God is the one who will get you through. Everybody else may forsake you and say, "Well, if you was really spirit-filled, if you was really going to that church, if you really da-da-da-da-da, then this wouldn't be happening." You know, God's got too much invested in me to quit and listen to that nonsense. Amen. Keep moving forward, church. God tells us, "I will be with you." He's the way maker in every situation. He's the promise keeper. He is the light in the darkness. Love that song. Waymaker. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in the fire furnace, they were not in there by themselves. The Bible says there was a fourth person in there with them. And that's what you need to remember today with whatever situation, anything that you're going through right now. The fourth man is with you in there. And he's cutting off the things that are binding you and holding you back and all those things. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 43:18, on down there in that scripture, it says, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Don't you perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert, streams in the wasteland." So he reminded them of where they once was, and now he's telling them to forget about the former things and don't dwell on the past. So you're thinking, "Okay, God, you told me to remember what happened way back then, that's your part in the Red Sea, and now you're telling us don't dwell on the former things or don't think about the former things." So he instructs his people to forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past, especially after just reminding them of a past event in their life that he had delivered them from. So normally, you know, you would think God wants us to remember the past, to see what he's done, to encourage us and put him in remembrances of. So there's a tendency, and I think that one reason is a tendency for us as humans to think of the Lord as the God who was and the God who will be. But what about the God of the now? Amen. So it's easy for us to dwell on past victories, and we should. But if we keep God back there, or if we keep God as a future God, we need him now. He needs to be the now God in your life. So because he said, listen, don't dwell on those things. Don't set yourself down on those things. Because I want to do a new thing. There's more that I want to do. Amen. There's more that I want to accomplish through you. So he says, look to me, for I'm the one that can do it for you. I'm the God of the now. What do you need God do for you now? Not tomorrow, now. Now. So that is, we remember great things that God once did, rejoice in them, but we look forward. Better things are yet to come. Better things are yet to come with what God has promised he will do. But what about the now? Now, what about the great I am? The God of the present tense. The God of the present tense. Not a someday God, which he is, but a right now God. So that is what God wants us as his people to avoid. He was telling them, I'm going to do something new and amazing for them in their day. No longer would they have to look back to stories they had heard from their youth of God's deliverance during the Exodus from Egypt. They were going to experience some amazing things for themselves. You know, thank God for Azusa Street and the great revivals and those things that happened 10 or 20 years ago. But what much more did God want to do today? Amen. He's wanting to do some miraculous things today. And keep living back then. What are we seeing now? Now they're going to experience, we're going to experience some amazing things for ourselves. Amen. So he would make a way so they could not return from their exile and provide, so they could return from their exile and provide streams in the desert. And you know, God is interested in your life. He is interested in the lives of these people. He's interested in your now. He's interested in where you're going and what you're doing. The scripture goes on to Isaiah tells us so to say that he does these things so that his people may what? Proclaim his praises. And when God has brought you out of that situation and you go through it, guess what you can do? Proclaim his praises. And you'll be able to say, that was God. That was God. I believed, trusted, and kept moving forward, stood firm on the word. And now look what God has done. Look what God has done. So I just want to say to that one today, is there a mountain on each side of you, a Red Sea before you, the enemy behind you? Are you the one that God needs to step in with a word today? Like I said before, he's your way maker, the promise keeper, the light in the darkness. And I want to encourage you that you will go through. You will go through. That's not your lot in life, to be broke, disgusted, poor, miserable, or depressed. That is not your lot in life. Amen. God has something more for you. And he's paid the price for you to have that more. May you too proclaim his praises as we begin to be reminded of the great I am. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that we've been stirred, God, to believe you and to be reminded that you're the God of the now. Thank you for all those things you've done in the past and believing you for greater things in the future. But we need a right now word, God, that is going to take us from here to there. The next step could be a breakthrough. The next step could be to be what we have been believing for. All for that one today that needs a word from God. I encourage you to keep on keeping on, to keep moving forward. Greater things are yet to come in your life. You've been discouraged and downhearted and wanted to quit. God says you're ready for your breakthrough. For it's on that platform he's going to do some miraculous thing in your life. He says to continue to believe me in all of my promises of my word that I have given to you as a new covenant believer. That I am for you and not against you. That I am indeed the way maker. Others may have challenged you to quit and give in. But the Lord says to keep on keeping on. For I'm doing a new thing in your midst. And begin to praise me even before you see it. Well, that is in believing and trusting that there is nothing impossible with me. Thank you for those that have an ear to hear today your word, Lord. I just speak your blessings over them. I speak breakthrough comes quickly in the name of Jesus. That one thing that you are believing for, you keep going back to it and you keep going back to it. God says to push one more time. To push one more time. Oh, I speak God's blessings over you, church, that you're highly favored. That you continue to see the goodness of God in your life. That you continue to see his provision in a mighty way. Oh, that you're blessed to be a blessing. That you are more than a conqueror in him, through him and by him. That his love is catching you and holding you. And he is not about to let you go. I speak healing over your bodies in the name of Jesus. To every infirmity in your body, I speak release now. Release now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing over you in Jesus' name. That you are healed by the stripes of Jesus. That no weapon formed against you. It's going to succeed in what the enemy had meant. But God is going to get the victory out of your testimony. And the praise out of your testimony. And I speak that this coming week you're going to be highly favored. That you're going to walk in God's goodness abundantly. And you and your household is going to see the favor of God in a mighty way. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for that today, God. And everybody say amen and amen.
I have a word for someone.
Yes.
When you were reading the scripture and you used the word completed, something jumped in my spirit, and it's been stirring. And this is a word for somebody. There is someone here who has been praying for something. And they have seen God beginning to work. And things have kind of eased up. And you have said in your heart, I can accept this. I can live with this. But God wants to say he is not a halfway God. Yeah. And the word is not completed in your life. And do not say in your heart, I can accept this much. I can live with this and nothing more. Because God said he is not through. And if you are the one that keeps saying, I can accept this much, don't let the words of your mouth stop what God wants to finish up on you. He wants to take you farther. Push in, push in, push in. Do not say, I will accept this and be happy living with it when God has so much more. Let his word be complete. It is a promise he has given to your life. Grab a hold of the word being completed in you and you will see it happen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Receive that in Jesus' name. Go out and have a blessed week and tell somebody the good news. Amen.